Let's get started with the group we have here. As I mentioned, I'm having to do this on my speakerphone today, and so therefore the quality is not going to be as good for the recording. So for those, anybody listening on the recording, my apologies. Let's start with whatever's on people's minds. What's on your minds? Hi, who's that?
Morning, it's Robert.
Hi, Robert. So we were just at the point of saying, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? It could be Robert, but it could be anybody. Ooh, someone else. Who's that?
Hi, this is Bruce. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. Nice to hear you. We're just getting started, and I was asking if people have anything they'd like to bring up. That kind of question doesn't seem to work so well. I could call on someone. Kathleen did that a while ago, but I think I'm not going to do that. If no one has anything that's on their minds, we can pretty much get started. Hi, someone just joined us?
Hi, Hayward.
Hi, Hayward.
Good morning.
So, let me say one thing about the last week and the online discussions. There was a nice exchange among about three of you where someone raised a question and a couple of people gave their ideas and views, and there was a little back and forth. That is probably the best example I've seen so far of what I would hope goes on the online, where people are really commenting on each other's concerns and questions and experiences and so on. There's been some of that, but it was very nice to have several people going. So I just want to encourage you. Of course, I realize we're on the last week now, so my encouragement in that sense may come too late, but I do hope that a lot of you are planning on going on when we start up again in January. I'll talk a little bit more about that toward the end of the call. So this week is, we're still dealing with space, and we're exploring the same themes that we've been working with for a couple of weeks. A couple of things that were mentioned in previous chapters do not come up here. Let's see, who's joined us in the last, who's that just now? Good, I'm glad you're here. And was there someone else before that who didn't introduce themselves? No?
Okay, my name is Eloisa.
No, that's okay. I'm sorry, Eloisa, I didn't make myself clear. We don't need to do that right now. Although, by the way,
did you ask me to introduce myself?
Excuse me?
Did you ask me to introduce myself?
No, I didn't. Yeah, that's fine. Although that reminds me, again, we're at the end of this particular program, but there is a section on the website for people to post a little introduction, and I encourage you to do that, especially, of course, if you're going on to the next program. So we were starting to talk about this week's chapter.
I had a lot of difficulties. I could never get in. Oh,
you couldn't get in what? To the website, you mean?
I never got into your lecture because we were all disconnected and there was problems getting in and
Okay, well, I see. Okay, well, Kathleen is here, even though she's on mute, I think. So, Kathleen, maybe you and Eloisa can talk about that afterwards and try to figure out what's going on. We have someone else who just joined us?
That's Bridget.
Oh, good. I'm glad you made it back in. So, in this week, there are a couple of themes that have come up in earlier chapters that don't specifically get mentioned. And in particular, there's no discussion of field communique, but I think that it's actually helpful to bring that in, and I will do that when we get to the right point. What Rinpoche talks about here, he's focusing, you could say, more directly on space. And he talks about this idea, which I think I've mentioned a couple of times, of flattening space. And people usually have a hard time with that, because it sounds like you are making things less full, less complete, less open, I guess, because flattening is in two dimensions and instead of in three. So it sounds like you're reducing something. And Rinpoche does address that on page 43 very specifically. And he gives an interesting example about going backwards in time. I'm not going to try to discuss that here. But it might be helpful to think in terms of the example he gives earlier when he's talking about flattening space. And he talks about the point. And I think you have to read that a couple of times to really understand what he's saying. I was going to say in order to get the point, but I can't say that. The idea is that a point is already non-dimensional, right? That's how it's defined in geometry. It's something that has no depth, no height, no width. It has no measurement at all. It's a zero in that sense. And his point is that if you're doing something to strip away dimensionality from something that already has no dimensionality, then you wind up with something less than zero. And so he calls that the zero-less. And that's, I don't know if everybody likes that kind of wordplay. I do. And he uses the word zero-less from then on. And he means it, I think, in that very specific sense. It's less than zero. And that's the same situation that applies to everything that appears in space if you flatten space. It becomes less than itself in the specific sense that the claims that it makes to be real are what are stripped away. And that's the point. We've talked about this in various ways throughout this program, that what gets lost in TSK is the claims that things make to be what they are, and to be solid and real and substantial. And in that sense, what gets lost is the obstacle, the obstructions to freedom. There's some terrible noise on this line. Okay. Well, I will. Okay. Somebody's back on. We'll see how we're doing. What I'm saying is that we are we're committed to things being a certain way, and the idea of zeroless space or flattening space is that commitment gets stripped away. And if you thought about that in terms of physical space, which is where we start off. And we start off with the point as an example of physical space, I think that's hard to make sense out of. I mean, it just isn't our experience. It could happen. You could imagine that you move through the physical world, seeing everything as being, in a sense, dreamlike or ghostlike. And in some ways, that would be helpful, maybe. Or maybe it would just be very confusing. But that is not the point. Or that is not... So tempting to say it that way, and I can't use the word point in that way. That is not where Rinpoche is directing us. What he's really talking about is the dimensionality of the world that we construct. And that's what takes us back to the field communique. The idea is kind of that we have built up this world, and yes, it has the three physical dimensions, but it really has all sorts of dimensions, which have to do with meaning, and how we make sense out of things. We understand the world we live in a particular way. And what we're flattening is that constructed world and its dimensionality. So another way to say that is that what we're flattening, and now I'm mixing together two ideas, but what we're flattening or challenging is the field communique. You know, something has been communicated, and it communicates itself as real. In fact, that's kind of the fundamental message of the field communique. But if we flatten space, if we flatten the space that communique communicates, because every communique communicates space and time and knowledge, a certain kind of understanding of space and time and knowledge, that's what we're stripping away, that's what we're flattening. And that leads us toward the self, which is more toward where we're going to go in the next program. But I'll say something more about that later. For right now, let me just ask, let me stop there and see if how people are doing. Any questions about that?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes. Okay, so mathematically you can kind of understand the idea of the zero lesson. And in fact, you know, when you put it in terms of mathematics, it's actually on a certain level very simple, because you say, well, what about minus one? That's less than zero. It's zero less, right? And the difficulty, in a sense, is to say, what would minus one, or the whole range of negative numbers, what does that mean in terms of our own reality, our own world? Right? We don't live in a minus world. But if we follow that analogy out, that is what the zeroless is. The question is, what would it be like to live in a world that was a minus world? And I mean, I probably shouldn't be making that exact comparison between negative numbers and the zeroless, because I think, you know, when you start talking about arithmetic, it doesn't have the same depth or richness as what Rinpoche is writing about. But still, maybe it's helpful. It seems to me it could be helpful to trace that out for a moment. So just to finish that thought, if you say, what would it be like to live in a minus world, the world would be minus what? Well, it would be minus the claims of substance, minus the claims of certainty, minus the dimensionality that we insist on as we move through the world, and minus our position in the center of our experience as the self that owns experience. So,
that brings us to zero?
Excuse me?
And that brings us to zero?
Well, it brings us... Yeah, minus... You know, it's an interesting question. If we think in terms of mathematics again, you could say, well, what is the relationship of minus one to zero? Right? And in terms of our ordinary experience, the closest you'd ever get to minus one is zero, because zero is the absence of everything. And in that sense, you could say zero is a representative of this space of greater freedom, of openness, which is the zeroless. It's the way that the zeroless shows up in our ordinary experience. But I think we should take it very seriously when Rinpoche talks about arriving at the zero-less, the less than zero. And, you know, it's a little bit, I was thinking when I was reading this that it's a little bit like black holes. And Rinpoche has always been very interested in black holes, although he doesn't write about them, except, you know, possibly he mentions them from time to time. But the idea of a black hole is that it kind of shows up in our universe, but there's no communication from it, right? Nothing gets out of a black hole. It's not part of the field communique. And people always like to speculate about what it would be like to enter a black hole. And the idea here, I have no idea what it would be like in terms of, you know, what astronomers say about black holes. But the idea here would be something like, if you fell into the zero, if you think of each zero as a black hole, if you fell into the zero, you'd find yourself in the zero-less realm, which might turn out, as he says in this chapter, would probably turn out on a certain level to look exactly the same as the world that we're in right now. But it would make no claims. It would be, you know, everything would be less than the smallest possible thing, which is the non-dimensional zero. And I have the feeling we're kind of, I'm not sure if that helps. Let me ask. Does that help?
Yes.
It does. Okay. How exciting. Okay. So, there, there's another way of saying this, which I think Rinpoche says in one of the books, but it occurred to me when I was thinking about the discussion that was on the website during the week, I think the one I was referring to earlier, where people were asking, raising or discussing the question, what does it say, what does it mean to say that each point occupies the whole of space? And that reminded me of a sentence that I think I didn't make up. I think it comes from the TSK books, but I'm not sure. And that is, everywhere is anywhere. And what I mean by that is that a point designates a place, so it's a where, right? But if that point makes no claims, if it's zero-less, if it's less than what it claims to be, then it's also anywhere. It has no defining characteristics. And it's in that sense that you can say that every point occupies the whole of space. Rinpoche talks at a certain point about being completely open. And I think what you could say is that this is one way of talking about how you could arrive, at least in words, how you could arrive at this completely open. It's not enough to go to zero. If you understand that as the absence of anything, you have to go to something deeper than zero. And again, one way of talking about this, and Rinpoche has many different ways of pointing us towards this, but one way of talking about this is to say that you could flatten space. So let me stop again. Any questions or comments about that? No? Well, let me give... Yeah, go ahead.
Can I ask a question?
You absolutely can, yes.
I just like my first session.
Oh, okay, great.
But, yeah, I mean, here on the phone, I mean.
Yes, I understand.
Is the field communicate? Is the whole field of experience, instead of the narrow field of experience, is it like... what the whole field of experience is communicating, is that what the field communicates?
Well, yes.
Sense of it or not?
Yes, it is, and that would be, you could say that's another way into it. There were some comments, I think by Louise, who isn't on the phone call, a couple of weeks ago, where she talked about the field communique, and she said...
I just had to break up.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry, as I said at the beginning of the call, as I said at the beginning of the call, I'm having to do this call on my cell phone, so I apologize for the quality of the sound. So Louise was saying a couple of weeks ago, she said, gee, the field communique is my friend, because I don't want to represent her view, but one way of saying that is, the field communique is my way of making sense out of things. And if I didn't have a way of making sense out of things, I couldn't function in the world. Something like that. And so one way to explore the field communique, one way to work with it, I should say, would be to try to get a sense of it as the whole. Because ordinarily, the field communique, part of the field communique, is that it situates us, you know, me, I, as the one who's having experience and understanding things. It situates that one in a particular position. And from that position, you look out and you see certain things and you don't see other things. And that's part of what the field communique communicates. Now, if there were a way that you could take in the whole field communique, if you could know with the knowledge of the field communique, then that would be the whole. And that whole would really take us right back to the zero-less that we're talking about now. And the reason that that's so is related to this point we were just talking about, that you could say one point is all points. Right? if you could really be aware of the whole of all that's happening without taking a position, without being located within that whole, then all of the distinctions that get made, all of the points that get set up, and all of the communication from one point to another point, all of that would be, to use the word we're using now, would be flattened. So the two things are related. Yeah.
That is when you're out of time and space as we know it.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
The linear time and the space as we know it.
That's right. That's right. And so what we're looking at is... Yes, or you're definitely focusing or tuning in to knowledge in a different way, and in a way that is not limited by our usual structures of space and time. Okay. So I wanted to suggest a practice for this week, and maybe we could try it just for a couple of minutes right now, and then talk about that. And you know, this will just be a short preview. The practice I'm thinking of is one many of you know. It's from the first TSK book. It's exercise 30, and it's called Subject-Object Reversal. And I definitely urge you to look at that, at the description of it. It's got three parts, and I'm especially interested in parts 2 and 3. Or they're actually called 30B and 30C. And for right now, I want us just to focus on 30B and in a specific way. The idea is this. Let experience arise. That's really how TSK always works. Let experience arise. And whatever your experience is, whether it's a thought or something you see or hear, see if you can let what you experience, what you might ordinarily call the object of your experience, let that know you. You know, ordinarily we see something, we say, oh, I see that. And in this case, we want to say the rose or whatever it is I'm seeing, the telephone, the telephone sees me. Right? But, and this is, you know, that's exercise 30A. Where I want to go is a little bit different, and it's in terms of this idea of the whole of the field communique. It's not just like you and the telephone are switching places, so that you're saying, oh, now the telephone has an eye, and that eye telephone is seeing the me object. I want to do it a little differently in the sense that the telephone stays the telephone, and you stay you. But the knowing capacity now belongs out there with the telephone, without the two of you switching places. That probably sounds like a pretty subtle distinction, and we don't need to worry about it right now. But I think it will become more clear if you look at the description in the exercise. So let's try that for a couple of minutes, just really literally 2 minutes, and then we'll talk about it for a few minutes. Okay? Let's start now. And this could be thoughts as well as what you see. It could be whatever comes up. Okay, let's stop there. Anybody like to say anything about that? I mean, you know, it's fine to say I didn't understand anything about that. That's okay.
I found it interesting. This is Michael.
Yeah.
Part of the house I'm in, being in, and then my hair, breathing in, and we got a little glimpse that it removed separation because it became my sense of being a living person. As I get outside it and look back, and kind of like it becomes one more.
Okay, good. Anybody else? We've got that unpleasant noise back. Yeah? Excuse me?
The noise listening to us.
Oh, right. Yeah, well, you raise a very good point, because our tendency, I was just reading a Buddhist text a little this morning, and basically it said everybody can be a good Buddhist practitioner when times are good. It's when times are bad, when there are problems and difficulties, that you get to really see the measure of someone's practice. And that noise is so irritating, it never even occurred to me to do the practice with it. So thank you for pointing out that possibility. Maybe one thing you could think about is, how does that exercise, how does it relate to the issue of flattening space? Or, well, you can definitely think about it, but let me say something about it. It seems to me that again, at a kind of a deeper level than just the surface, what we're flattening, if you think of flattening space, is the whole communique. And what the communique flattens, or excuse me, communicates more than anything else, is the structure in which the I is at the center doing the knowing and having the experience. So when we're doing this kind of reversal, in one way it feels more full, I think, because the knowing is more global. It's part of the environment. And in another way, it has that quality of undermining or flattening the structure of what is being communicated, of the field communique. So that's one way that I at least see those two things going together. Anybody else want to say anything about that little practice? Yeah. Okay.
I see nothing.
Okay.
I wasn't myself anymore, but I was a phone.
Okay. Well, that's definitely one way.
An object.
Right.
Of the subject, the phone, became the object of the phone.
Okay. So the question to ask there is now, what happens to the subject-object structure when you do this reversal? That's at least one question to ask. It's a little bit different from the way the exercise is used in the TSK book, but if you read around in that area, you might find something interesting. Okay, I think that I encourage you to do that practice during the week, and this, of course, would be a good time to review because it is our last week, and just kind of think back on the themes we've been exploring, the availability within experience of what's not content, and how that leads us to space, and then the various ways we've been looking at of opening space into what Rinpoche calls here in this chapter the completely open. Now, just a preview, the theme for next quarter is thoughts, story, self. And my idea is, my hope is, that will follow very naturally from what we've been doing, because that quality of opening space and opening or flattening space or going to the zero list or investigating a whole of the field communique, all these different ways we've been talking about it. A next step is to take that into our thoughts and to try to understand more fully how our way of thinking, or the thoughts that we think, how those structure our experience. It's very similar to the theme of the field communique, but it has a little bit of a different quality, and it leads us then in the direction of stories. And then once we talk about stories, that leads us in the direction of the self. And, of course, we've been talking about the self. Even today we've talked about it quite a bit. So that will become more of our focus in the next program. But for now, we still have another week in this program, and I encourage you to continue the exchange online, which I think has been getting more and more interesting, and I'm really happy to see it. If you're not going to go on, this will be the last time we talk together. So thank you for participating. And if you are going to go on, we'll connect in January, and I'm sure you'll be hearing from Kathleen about the specifics. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is the last phone call.
Yes, this is the last phone call for this program. Okay. Great. Bye-bye.